We thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. This broadcast service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to stay with us as we bring you the gospel on today's Way of Truth broadcast. Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for the privilege of being a child of God. We're thankful through your love and the gift of your dear Son, you have made it possible, and we give you thanks and praise. We thank you for the privilege of sharing the gospel with this precious people today. Wherever there are those listening, we are praying that the Holy Spirit will accompany our broadcast and make it a blessing to each one. We know that you are a God of love, a God of comfort, and so we pray that you'll minister to our congregation, whether their needs be physical, spiritual, or otherwise. We know that you love them, so bless them, we pray, and bless this broadcast in Jesus' name. Amen. From Missouri, we have this encouraging note. Brother Craig, I haven't written in a while, but I do love the Way of Truth and your radio broadcast, which I listen to on shortwave. Thank you for your strong holiness stand. I pray for your ministry, both in print and on the radio. And then, from Louisiana, we listen to your program on AM 840 KWDF in Louisiana and enjoy listening to your messages while getting ready for church on Sunday morning. Keep sounding out the rugged truth. And from Arkansas, Dear Saints, the Way of Truth broadcast and the Way of Truth paper are such a blessing to me. They are food to my soul. Keep your eyes on God. Turn neither to the right nor to the left. God is still the same. He hasn't changed and never will. We do thank the Lord for those who take time to let us know that our broadcast is a blessing. And at the close of today's broadcast, we'll be giving you our mailing address, and we'd be happy if you would let us know that you hear and appreciate our broadcast.
God sent His Son. They called Him.
Our subject for today's broadcast, Why Does God Allow Trials? Our text of Scripture is taken out of 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. According to Webster, the definition of the word trial is the act or process of trying, testing, or putting to the proof, the fact or state of being tried by suffering, one's endurance, a person or thing that is a source of annoyance or irritation. Now, Peter tells us that we are not to think it strange concerning not just the trial, but the fiery trial which is to try us, as though some strange thing happened unto us. Why does God allow trials? Well, one reason for trials, difficulties prove our faith. We read in 1 Peter again, this time chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Notice what the Apostle Peter has said here in regard to trials, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Not only is it precious to us and important to us, but it is precious to Almighty God. So difficulties prove our faith, our confidence in God. And so trials try our faith. And the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Jesus told the disciples when they marveled at his causing the fig tree to dry up, he said, have faith in God. And he said, if you have faith, you can say unto this fig tree, be thou plucked up and be thou cast into the sea, and it shall be done if you do not doubt in your heart. So difficulties, trials, tests prove our faith. It proves our steadfastness. And what better example could we refer to as far as Bible characters are concerned than to Job, the man that we call the man of suffering? His faith was indeed tried, not only by Satan, but even his wife asked him why he didn't curse God and die. And he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That was indeed a sore trial that Job was going through. But in all he sinned not, and neither did he charge God foolishly. Now also enduring trials produces humility and patience, and certainly Christians need both humility and patience. If we are going to walk with God, we must walk humbly with our God, for God has showed us what he requires, that we love mercy, that we do justly, and that we walk humbly with our God. And certainly patience is a very beautiful Christian characteristic. And so trials and enduring trials produces humility and patience. Let us look at the Apostle Paul and see what he said along this line. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now we're talking about, for the moment, trials producing humility and patience. And you notice here what the Apostle Paul said. He was given a thorn in the flesh because he was receiving various revelations and visions from God, and he was given this thorn in the flesh, lest I should be exalted above measure. So he was given that it might keep him humble before Almighty God, and not consider himself better than what he really was. We also read in Romans chapter 5 and verse 3, where the Apostle Paul said, we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience. Now, I don't know how many of us could say that we glory in tribulations, but we do appreciate having patience And I suppose a lot of us could say we could use more patience. And one way to get more patience is to have tribulations. Again, Paul, here in Romans 5 and 3, we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Oh yes, we'd like for God to send us down a lot of patience in a little package with a beautiful bow on it, but that isn't the way it works. Paul says here that it is through tribulations that we gain patience. We increase in our patience. The scriptures give some instructions as to what we should do while enduring trials. And this we may find a little hard to do, but nevertheless, it is the instructions that are given to us in the scriptures. And one of those things is rejoice. The Apostle James, chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Notice what the Apostle James said, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. That's not just one or two, but many temptations, but count it all joy. Now, I know the Apostle James is not talking about count 1, 2, 3. He's talking about us considering and looking at this thing in the true light. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. We also find the Apostle Paul and his co-worker Silas being thrown in prison in Philippi because they had delivered a woman from demon possession. They were beaten openly, put in prison, and thrown in the stocks. And we don't hear Silas saying to Paul, look what kind of a mess you got us into. You don't hear them complaining or murmuring. But at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. That's what they were doing when their faith was being tested and tried, and they had been put in prison. They sang and praised God at the midnight hour, and God was so pleased with what they were doing that he shook that old jailhouse and loosed them from their bonds. And as a result of their victorious rejoicing that night, the jailer and his whole house were saved. Now, we find them praying and singing at the midnight hour. In other words, they were rejoicing in the midst of the trial that had come upon them. And we're told in the Word of God that we are to resist the devil steadfast in the faith. So this is another reason why we need to endure the trial, be victorious in the trial, because Satan would try to use the trial to overcome us, to discourage us, to turn us aside. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. And if the devil can rob you of your joy, he's going to rob you of your strength. But we are to resist the devil steadfast in the faith, and go through the trial and through the test, knowing that if we will go through it, as God would be pleased for us to, we will come out stronger and have greater victories. God promises to those who endure the trials. Let's look at some of those promises regarding Paul's thorn in the flesh that I referred to earlier. He sought the Lord 3 times to have that trial removed, and the Lord answered him. The Lord told him, my grace is sufficient for thee. And so Paul said, in effect, that he would be satisfied and he would go on and he would endure it. The Lord told him, my grace is sufficient for thee. And God's grace is sufficient for every one of us. God is no respecter of persons. What he did for Paul, the grace that he gave Paul to overcome, he will give to each one of us. It is not necessary for us to fail of the grace of God, for his grace is indeed sufficient. Now the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. So we read in Psalm 34:7. We read in the Bible about the prophet Elisha. He was surrounded by the Syrian army, and his servant was troubled, and he wondered what we're going to do. And Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes. And there he saw fiery chariots all around Elisha protecting him. And it wasn't just Elisha, according to the psalmist. Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth him. Well, you might say, well, Brother Alvin, I've never seen any angels. Well, angels are ministering spirits. It is true that sometimes they took on physical form to deliver a message to people, but you don't see them. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him. If you fear God and are living in obedience to his word, then there are angels camping round about you, and they're there to deliver you. Yes, many times in my travels, when I get ready to head out on a trip, I ask the Lord to send his guardian angels with us to protect us from harm and danger. And I believe that he has done so many times. Now, another thing that God has promised us in regard to our overcoming the trials and the tests, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Revelation 3:5. But notice, this is on the condition that he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So we must overcome the trials and the tests. We must overcome the opposition of the devil. And again, God has promised us grace that he will enable us to do so. Now, trials are a part of life. It's not realistic to think that you're going to go through this sin, curse, sin, sick world today, living a Christian life without facing trials and tests, not only from Satan, but from people. Notice what Webster said in regard to the definition of trial, the act or process of trying, testing, or putting to the proof, the fact or state of being tried by suffering, one's endurance. A person or thing that is a source of annoyance or irritation. So it isn't only Satan directly presenting trials and tests, but there are people that can also be a trial and a test to us. Some of our problems are brought about by our own past sins. Not all of them are from other people. Not all of them are directly from Satan. Some of our problems are brought about by our past sins. Therefore, we must endure them and be victorious. For trials are a part of life. Some difficulties come as a result of doing what is right. Yes, some difficulties come because of doing what is right. I referred to Paul and Silas being put in jail there in Philippi. What were they put in jail for? For doing what was right. What were they beaten for? For doing what was right. So some difficulties come as a result of doing what is right. And that's why we're told to rejoice and to be exceedingly glad. Even when people say things about us falsely, we are to rejoice because they are not true, and we know that God knows what the facts really are. Jesus is an example of one who suffered for doing what is right. And I feel safe in saying that none of us have suffered as Jesus suffered. Nevertheless, he suffered not because He was worthy of suffering, or worthy of being punished, or worthy of the cross. No, even the thief there on the cross said to the other thief, this man is here not because he has done anything. We're here because we deserve to be, but not this man, not the man on the middle cross. He didn't deserve to be there. He was there because he did what was right. And we should not be surprised if we suffer sometimes for doing what is right. But let us go on and do what is right. Job suffered not because he had sinned, but because he feared God and was living in obedience to all the truth that he knew in the period of time in which he lived. God never allows a trial to come to weaken us. Let me emphasize that point. God never allows a trial to come to weaken us, but to help us to grow. Now, we may not always see, we may not always understand, but again, let us have that faith and confidence in God that we know that whatever God allows is in the end best for us. So God never allows a trial to come to weaken us, to turn us aside, or to cause us to fail, but he does so that we might grow thereby. Why does a person get out and run for 2 miles? Or why do they take exercise? To strengthen their muscles. And so trials help strengthen our spiritual muscles, as it were. It helps us to grow in our Christian experience. And we are told that we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Someone has said, even though most cringe at the thought of problems and difficulties, man needs resistance and trials to challenge and make him a better person. Without trials, man tends to be arrogant. Listen to the psalmist. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Psalm 119:71. And that is a quote. I trust that our thoughts today, why does God allow trials, has proven to be a blessing to you. Father, we pray that you'll bless our broadcast to the hearts of each one in our congregation. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our mailing address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. Our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. And remember, you can listen to a number of our broadcasts, also read our monthly Way of Truth magazine on our webpage, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for listening to our broadcast today, and we invite you to tune in this station next week when, again, the Lord willing, will come your way with another Way of Truth broadcast.